Dr. Paul Geraghty was born of Irish immigrant parents and raised in Rugby, Warwickshire, England. Educated at Lawrence Sheriff Grammar School and Rugby School, he was awarded a travel scholarship and spent a year teaching in Fiji when he began his research into the dialects of Fiji. After graduating from Cambridge with an MA in modern languages, French and German to boot, he earned his PhD from the University of Hawaii with a dissertation on the history of the Fijian languages. He was recruited as a researcher by the Fijian Monolingual Dictionary Project in Suva, which had been recently founded by the American-Canadian actor and philanthropist Raymond Burr. This project developed into the Institute of Fijian Language and Culture, of which he was director from 1986 to 2001, being recognised for his service in researching and revitalising Fiji's linguistic and cultural heritage with the award of Officer of the Order of Fiji by the then President Ratu Kamisese Mara in 1999. In 2001, he accepted a position at the University of the South Pacific, having previously written and taught there the first university course in a Pacific language. He is currently adjunct associate professor in linguistics and working on a postgraduate course in Fijian, in addition to conducting wide-ranging research. He's an author, editor of several books, including History of the Fijian Languages, Lonely Planet Fijian Phrasebook, Borrowing a Pacific Perspective, and the Macquarie Dictionary of English for the Fiji Islands, as well as numerous articles and professional journals and newspapers on Fijian and Pacific languages, culture and history. Also well known in Fiji as a newspaper columnist, a radio and TV presenter, currently co-hosting the 8th season of the weekly program Vueta Navosa on Fiji TV. Dr. Paul Geraghty joins us now on Pacific Days for our Talanoa. Nisambolo Vinaka, Vinaka Vakalevu, Dr. Paul, and thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Well, Dr. Paul, let's get straight into it, deep dive. The Fijian language and its various dialects, can you talk to us a bit about the origins of this incredible language?
Most of us will know that archaeological and linguistic evidence indicates that Fiji was first, along with Tonga and Samoa and Futuna and Wallace and all the other islands, Niue, Tuktapu and so forth, was first settled about 3,000 years ago by people that we now call the Lapita people, who were the ancestors of the Fijians and Polynesians and Rotumans. Mustn't forget the Rotumans, yeah. So about 3,000 years ago, they came to Fiji very quickly. They moved on to Tonga and Samoa and Wallis and Futuna and the other places in Western Polynesia. It took them a little bit longer to get to Rotuma, but the language that they spoke was derived from the language that was then spoken in the Solomons and Vanuatu, which was the language of the Lapita people. So it's basically the language that we now call Proto-Oceanic. So that's the language that was spoken 3,000 years ago in Fiji. And then a group of people from eastern Fiji would be the ones who settled the Western Polynesia, so Tonga, Samoa, etc. And their language developed from that. So there are a lot of similarities, obviously, between Fijian and other Polynesian languages. And then about 1,000 years after that, between 1,000 and 2,000 years after that, a group of those people settled eastern Polynesia, which is why we get the early settlements of places like the Marquesas and and Tahiti. And from those, a few hundred years later, the Cook Islands and Aotearoa were settled. And from the Marquesas, possibly, there are various theories about where exactly Hawaii was settled from, but it was certainly, it's a Polynesian language. So all those languages, all the Polynesian languages, as we know, are related. They're closely related to Fijian, and they're also closely related to Rotuman.
Now, Dr. Paul, we have the Fijian language, but from what little I understand, there are, what, we're looking at nearly, is it 300 dialects across the Fijian islands?
Correct, yes, there's about 300, which makes it very different from Polynesian languages. For example, you know, in Tonga, there's basically two languages in Tonga. Samoa, basically one. There are some regional differences, but they're all very, very similar. So on the other hand, Fiji has, yes, 300 distinct, what we call communalects. So a communalect is a variety of language that's spoken by a people who live close together, who acknowledge the same chief and acknowledge the same, that they speak the same language. So we've got about 100 in Western Fiji and about 200 in Eastern Fiji. Now we do have what's called Standard Fijian, some people call it Bowen Fijian, and that's a sort of standard language that probably had evolved even before the missionaries arrived. The missionaries certainly helped to propagate it because they chose that what they called Bowen as the standard language. But it was probably in use as a standard language before, though it wasn't called Bowen before. And so we do have a standard language which everybody learns at school, everybody uses in church and so forth. But apart from that, people still, to a large extent, speak the language of their home village. So you get, just give me a few examples, like the word for to go, which is like Haere in Aotearoa and in Samoa, Alu and so forth. In Tongan, Alu. In Fijian, Lako is standard. It's also Lauan. It's also parts of Vanualevu. But in many parts of Vanualevu, instead of saying Lako, they say Lao, where K becomes total stop, which is the same as the sound change we have in Samoan. But then there are lots of parts of, especially Viti Levu, where they have different words for to go. One very common one is Ngai, which is used in Rewa, parts of Tai Levu, parts of Naitashiri. Then we have Mbau, which is used in Namosi, Wainimala, other parts of Eastern Fiji. We have Ba, which is used in Nanrau. And then in Western Fiji, we have the most common one is La, but a number of places use Laka, and there are other places that use Yaka, which is probably derived from Laka. So that gives you an example of the kind of differences that we have.
Now, Dr. Paul, you know, we're talking about dialects, but if we're looking at, say, like, you know, the chiefly system, which is, you know, common across all of Polynesia, is that included among the dialects, or is that a different sort of communication or language altogether in itself?
Okay. Now, while you're working, I sort of see two sort of questions there. So, first of all, yes, as I said, typically a communalect or a dialect is one that's spoken by people who acknowledge the same chief. Now, unlike, for example, Tonga, where certainly in recent history we had a single Tu'i Tonga, in Fiji there never was a Tu'i Viti. There was never a single chief in charge of the whole of Fiji, never. As far as we know, although there are references in Samoan oral traditions, they do sometimes talk about a Tu'i Viti. Now, but I suspect that's simply because they didn't actually know his title. They just thought it was a chief from Fiji, so they would call him Tu'i Fiti. So there's never been a single uniform chief over the whole of Fiji. In the 19th century, Europeans tried to make the chief of, or the Vuniwalu of Bau, into the chief of the whole of Fiji, and they called him Tu'i Viti, but it's not something that's ever been generally recognized. So we have different, what are called Matanitu. A Matanitu is a self, is an autonomous area under a single chief, which doesn't owe allegiance to anywhere else. And the recent estimates put it maybe about 40 different Matanitu in Fiji, between 40 and 50 at the time of contact. So that's answer to part of your question. And the other thing is, since we're talking about chiefs, and you will be familiar with Samoa, and also in Tonga, also in Rotuma, but also in Eastern Fiji, Lawan Fiji, there are particular words that are only used with reference to a king. So in Lao, which is the eastern part, most easterly part of Fiji, the king is actually, he's not called the Tu'i Lao. You might think he would be, but he isn't. He's called the Tu'i Neao. And the Tu'i Neao is the chief of the whole of Lao. If you are talking about the Tu'i Neao, it's not when you're talking to the Tu'i Neao. When you're talking about him, you have to use certain words. You cannot just say Lako for go. He doesn't Lako. He will Lea or Ka. Those are two words that you mean to go. In when you're talking about a chief, similarly, if the chief bathes, then you cannot use the normal word, which is sili. You use the chiefly word, which is tubutumbu. and so on. So there's a whole vocabulary which is used for chiefs, which is common also, not the words that are common, but just the practice is common to Tonga and Samoa and Wallis and Futuna. And also, funnily enough, to Pohnpei in Micronesia, that also has a chiefly vocabulary. Yeah. Now, so it's a common thing in this part of the Pacific. Yeah.
Dr. Paul, does in terms of the chiefly system, hierarchy structure, does that still operate in Fiji?
Yeah, very much so. I think very much so. Obviously, there are you know, political pressures where especially recently, you may have heard of the dissolution of the Great Council of Chiefs. But some people will say, well, that's not important because it never was a traditional institution anyway. And I won't give you my view on that particular matter. There are two points of view. But nevertheless, chiefs are still very powerful in Fiji. And it's often said among Fijians that all Fijians, or indigenous Fijians, I should say, have three allegiances, which is Lotu, that's the church, as I'm sure you know, the Vanua, which is the traditional political setup, and then there's the Matanitu, which is the Western political setup. So we have these three obligations, which are the foundations of every Fijian's life. And of those three, the Vanua, which is the traditional political setup, is by far the most important. Everything else takes second place.
Dr. Paul, before the arrival of Europeans to, you know, Fiji and across Polynesia, what were relations and were they, you know, things like trade that, you know, operate across Polynesia and in what way, shape or form?
Very good question. There was trade, and one of the earliest items of trade, when the Europeans started, like Captain Cook, when they first came to the Pacific, they discovered, for example, that the Tongans would go and buy or barter for red feathers in Fiji, especially in Tabuni at that particular point in time. So that's an old tradition, is bartering for red feathers, because they were much more common and available in Fiji than they ever were in parts of Polynesia. But also things like sandalwood, which is one of the things that brought the Palangi first to Fiji. That was also, they knew about that because the Tongans told them, we get sandalwood from Bua in Fiji. So that was another item of trade. And then you have the trade in the other direction. I'm sure you know that the kava bowl is called a tanoa in eastern Fiji. That name is taken directly from Tongan, tanoa. Samoan, I think, has the same word, tanoa. So it's a style of bowl that originated in Tonga and then was introduced to Fiji in the 18th century. And that's another example of the trade. Of course, people were coming and going all the time. If you look into the, you know, the Tongan and the Samoan oral traditions, they have lots of traditions. For example, the introduction of tattooing to Samoa is attributed to Fijians who went there. Also, many chiefs of in Tonga have or claim to have a Fijian origin. For example, there's a chiefly family called the Falefa, of which the leader is the Tu'i Motuliki, and the Motuliki is, of course, the name of an island in Fiji, which is called Motuliki. And there is, you know, history behind this, which I could repeat some other time, but it would take too long today.
Now, Dr. Paul, forgive me, but I must ask out of curiosity, why was cannibalism so prevalent, you know, in Fiji, even up until the 19th century? And the majority, you know, the purpose, was it, you know, for power, or can you explain the practice in a historical context, please?
that's a fair question, and I think nobody really knows a single answer. There's probably a number of different answers. One of the simple answers that was, that people were told in the 19th century was, well, that's our old custom. That's the way it's always been done. No? And so why is it? Of course, it's not only a Fijian custom. It's practiced in many parts of Polynesia too. It was also practiced in Europe. There's lots of evidence that cannibalism was practiced in Europe in the early days, not so much recently. So it's, you know, it's a worldwide practice. In Fiji, as to my understanding, is that it was almost exclusively done in war. So it was an expression of defeating your enemy. So defeating your enemy was a good thing, but to eat your enemy was even better than defeat. So it's like adding insult to injury, if you like. So that was the main motivation for it. But, you know, when Christianity arrived, then that was one of the things that happened, is that cannibalism disappeared. And, you know, the last recorded instance was about 1890, so over 100 years ago.
Mm. For you, Dr. Paul, you know, in terms of your own journey with the, you know, Fijian language and history, can you tell us a bit more about that? Yes, you know, a scholarship taking you to Fiji, it's one thing, and to, you know, to learn, but to be adept and proficient in, you know, another language other than your birthplace, to the point where you pretty much, you know, speak just as, if not better than many locals, where does the passion derive from for all things Fijian for you?
I think the answer to that is that I have a gift for languages, and that's why even when I was a small boy, I started learning French and German and other European languages and Latin, because I've always found that I've been interested in languages. You know, I was a quick reader, and then in the story of my coming to Fiji is actually a long story, but I'll try and make it short. The school I went to, the secondary school, was called Rugby School. That's where the game of rugby comes from, which usually makes me popular among New Zealanders. That school, I met, the bursar of the school was a man who had previously worked in Fiji for many years, and he wrote books about Fiji, and he was the one who sort of got me interested in Fiji. So when I had a gap year, we didn't call it gap year in those days, but a year between school and university, everybody was encouraging me to go and do something somewhere else as far as you can possibly go. And I thought, well, you can't go any further from England than Fiji, can you? So I applied for a travel scholarship. And I was awarded a travel scholarship, and the gentleman I knew at the school, his name was Philip Snow. He was actually a captain of the Fiji cricket team that toured New Zealand in 1948. So if you're a cricket fanatic, you might have heard that name. He arranged for me to be a teacher for 1 year. So I was like an independent volunteer. And it was during that year, it just happened that I was appointed to a Fijian boys' boarding school. And of course, everybody spoke Fijian there. That's how I picked up Fijian quickly. Not only that, but there were boys from all over the country. And I thought, you know, nobody's really studied these dialects before. I must do it myself. So I did. I kept, you know, asking the boys about their own languages from home. I kept records of it. And that was formed the basis of my interest from then on until today.
Well, Fijian Language Week here in New Zealand, Dr. Paul, and it's a question I put to, you know, to guests time and again when we celebrate, you know, different language weeks. What is, a way that we can preserve the Fijian language, especially for our next generation, our Fijian youth, say, for example, those, you know, New Zealand born but not have a sort of connection or very familiar with their language? Language or their cultural identity as Fijian, what would be your, you know, advice or words of encouragement?
I think there's sort of two answers to that. One is the obvious thing is that parents must speak Fijian to their children. That's the obvious one. And, you know, if sometimes they will say, oh, well, they won't learn English. Of course they learn English. They go to school, they learn English. And in a school in New Zealand, they won't learn English very well in a school in Fiji, but they will in a school in New Zealand. But we have to understand, we have to put a historical perspective on this, is that a lot of parents who speak Fijian, they're not only in New Zealand, but also in Fiji, and maybe I shouldn't say a lot, but some, think that it's educationally advantageous for their children if they speak English to them. So that is one of the problems, not only in New Zealand, but also in Fiji. And with all due respect to everybody who's listening out there, this is due to New Zealand, because in around about the 1930s, up until the 1930s, education in Fiji was run by the different religions. It was all done by the Methodist Church, which was the most popular church in Fiji, the Catholic Church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Anglican Church to a small extent. These were the ones who were doing education up until the 1930s. Then they had financial problems, and the government, the colonial government at that day, looked for ways to help, and they invited the New Zealand Education Department to send teachers and to change the curriculum. That's what they did. They brought over the New Zealand curriculum, New Zealand teachers. And of course, in those days, in the 1930s, they were doing everything to punish children for speaking Maori. For they didn't have any part of the curriculum in Maori or in Fijian. So they applied everything they applied to New Zealand Maori, they applied to Fijian. So from that time, up until to a certain extent to today, you have that same system in the Fijian education system, which was like in the 1930s in New Zealand, where if you speak Fijian or Hindi or whatever your native language is at school, you can get punished or fined. The actual teaching of it's improved recently, but for a long, long time there was very little teaching of Fijian at all in the schools. That's only recently has that improved a bit. Of course, New Zealand has completely changed, and you have Kohanga Reo, and I don't need to tell you, there's a very strong public support for using Te Reo Māori as much as possible in as many contexts as possible. Now, we don't really have that in Fiji yet, but I can see that's going to come. So what I'm saying is that the parents who do not pass on their knowledge of Fiji to their children, it's partly because their knowledge is not so good, but also because the educational system in Fiji in the past did not encourage anybody to speak Fijian. In fact, I've heard parents say that when I was at school, the head teacher would tell me, when you have children, always speak English to them. If you speak Fijian, they're going to be stupid. So that's the sort of system, that's 1930s New Zealand system. But it still exists to a certain extent in Fiji today. So that's why you have to understand that people have these preconceptions that Fijian is useless for education.
And finally, Dr. Paul, we can't let you go without, a word of encouragement to our Fijian community worldwide, celebrating Fijian Language Week and the beautiful Fijian tongue. Please, Ratu.
Ya, bina wale usara bina kaya. Nongku wakasala wiki muni na marau tagachiku na madongo na madau ni nontabosa. Mevuka usang kita kuno cie nak kena bosa kena bawa mana lah balang moni kunim beda nan nonto bosa mete kunim beda nonto bosa matai and cukup balik bosa baka bitinga bernangone merkela non rosa vitale se bene ase buru-buru cikina erna and mau dakon kin non rubuli nangone and kila ke tene bea se buru-buru na lebu ni bosa ikila donangone na lebu ni nono buku lebu ni kana rawata. Ya mekila le bona bosa ke bukan den dua ke bukan bosa ngaba balangi bua kon ngai malum-malum na bosa swa balangi malum-malum tangan bosa babi tin kan do ya mengur ya ken karua ubi bakan bibitak ngan ya sengni o ka mantang au kenda na kai biti na no dona bosa babi le bona du kai kai biti er bosa babi tonton talaga para kuri chuk na bosa babi mai na bukan na enda kai lomo ur na basu na Samoa, na Tonga, na Rotuma, talaga na India, lebo vire, non rompos talaga na bospa biti, sing ni non duwal nga, ya mede pa kung geti yaro talaga, mara pa kong bula na non tobosa. Kung nga, dubi nakata men bula non tobosa, men da bos taka, men da punim beda, men da bakanga taka na wingaw na raw kina, kebo ka malam-lum na mo bospa biti, chuko na sala yaro ni ba kukotaki, kina, mebo ka na buli, man University of the Pacifica, kena sala taliso ken due via kera maka sala kina era ni bol bol mai via mana University of the Pacific ken lembek ngaya na walew
Dr. Paul Geraghty, Adjunct Associate Professor Linguistics at the University of the South Pacific. Dr. Paul, we've been so blessed this afternoon. Thank you so much and have a great day. Mude. Thank you.
Na walew. Yeah.